When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are a day away from the 20-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on this country. And we are joined now by somebody who certainly was in the center of that storm and has a very particular perspective on it. The former mayor of New York City, former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, and you can follow his work at rudyscommonsense.com. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, good to have you on, sir.
It's an honor to be on. Thank you.
What was it like that day? I mean, take us back, because I think one of the most important things for people now as part of the reflection is to make sure we don't forget, that we don't forget both what it was to be attacked in that way, but also the heroism of those who ran into the towers, who sacrificed themselves, and how America rallied. But to take us into those initial moments when you were the mayor of America's largest city on September 11th, 2001.
Well, it was, I mean, it was like being in hell, or it was more like being in battle than it would be a, you know, an urban situation. When I realized that it was a terrorist attack for sure, which was when the second plane came in, I was probably 1 mile from the building, heading down there to join my police commissioner. And then when I got to the site, people were jumping out of the buildings. Some of them were hitting people on the ground. Debris was hitting people and knocking them down. And I went up to the fire department command post and made sure that the fire department had the resources. And also I needed to divide the commands. So the fire department was in charge of the fire and doing everything they could to save people. And the police department was in charge of guarding the rest of the city. Now, people don't realize that at the time when I finally got the White House, they told me that there were 7 to 12 planes still unaccounted for, that Vice President Cheney had sent out jets that hopefully would keep them away from the city, but that I should consider the possibility that there would be follow-up ground attacks, which we had already assumed. Our plan for that is to send our terrorism task force to those sites that we think they're going to hit. So Bernie Kerik dispatched them to places like the Stock Exchange, the Empire State Building. We also emptied all those buildings out immediately. That list, oh gosh, that list has been compiled over 20 years. I used to be, you know, I used to prosecute the cases of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, so I knew it intimately. That list is built up over time. When you pick up terrorists and you take everything they have, they have plans with them for bombings. So out of those plans, you develop a list of what are they most interested in doing. And the number one target, by the way, was the stock exchange, not the World Trade Center. And we had to triage the hospitals, and it was an exercise in saying to yourself, I'm not going to think about what's happening now. I'm going to just keep my mind focused on, you know, what's the right decision, and then pray to God that it was right. Luckily, I was a mayor for 7.5 years. I had been through virtually every kind of an emergency you could imagine. I also started the first mayor's office of emergency management. We never had one before. I did that second day I was in office, and we did a lot of training. And we did a lot of training at the World Trade Center. So I did feel a certain confidence that we would know what we were doing, but also very challenged by the fact that this was, you know, way beyond what we anticipated.
I know, Mr. Mayor, that you had so many friends and family members and people that you knew well in those buildings, also working with the police department and the fire department. How do you balance out in that moment of incalculable tragedy, the personal and but at the same time, the responsibility you have as a mayor? How hard was that to balance the humanity and also the job?
It was hard. I mean, I had learned how to do it with Flight 800, another airplane crash, building collapses, hostage situations, West Nile virus. I mean, we had been through so many emergencies. You learn how to keep yourself focused on the emergency. And we also had emergency plans for about 22 different situations. So we did a lot of tabletop exercises. And so there was a certain, you know, I played a role. I was the mayor. I was in charge. I had to make decisions. I also knew that I had enormously competent people. So I never had if I gave a task to Chief Esposito, I knew I had, a 25-year cop who'd been through everything. Or if I gave a task to Rudy Washington, who was my deputy mayor in charge of transportation, I knew he'd be able to clear the area out for the fire department so that people could get back and forth. Or if I just gave the order to my other deputy mayor, who was in charge of hospitals, you got to triage the hospitals in the area. I didn't have to explain to him how to triage the hospitals. He had done it 20 times before. So there was an advantage that I had in having an extraordinarily experienced, talented group of people. Otherwise, I could have made the right decision and they could have executed them incorrectly.
We're speaking to former mayor of New York City on September 11, 2001, Rudolph Giuliani. And Mr. Mayor, NYPD and FDNY, the fire department of the city of New York, lost a lot of their men and women that day. And in the aftermath of those initial towers coming down, there was a tremendous amount of work that city employees and folks had to do. I just wanted to hear you speak to how you saw people come together and the rallying that occurred in this city and for the whole country in the aftermath.
I thought it was magnificent. I mean, right that very day, the firefighters put their flag up, the flag almost like Iwo Jima, which was very, very meaningful to me because I had just read Brokaw's book on the greatest generation. And there was always the question, you know, could they handle it? And when I saw those firefighters, I said to myself, these are the sons and grandsons of the people who won the Second World War. They got it. They still got it. And I knew some of those guys. And they were on top of a pile with about 3,000 degree fire below them. And they didn't give a damn. They went up, put the flag up, and basically they were saying, you know, we're coming for you, pal. We're not going to, you know, the hell with Bill Clinton, who, you know, three times slapped you on the wrist when you killed Americans. We got a different president now, and it's going to be a different situation. Everyone felt that. I mean, I told my police commissioner, thank God Gore didn't win. And what I meant by that was I knew about bin Laden for 2.5 years. I was being warned he was going to come and hit us 2.5 years earlier. As a result of the FBI briefings, I had to close down the area around the federal courthouse because we had some of his people on trial. I had to close down the area around the Stock Exchange, City Hall. We had at least three or four false warnings that he was going to attack us. And every time he did attack us overseas and Clinton would go bomb an empty field, I would get enraged. I would say, I mean, I investigated Arafat in the 80s and knew that he murdered 27 people. I couldn't understand what Clinton was doing, sucking up to him. I think a lot of the problems in the Middle East come from that. So I was not a fan of Bill Clinton's, the way in which he was treating Bin Laden. I thought he was encouraging him the way Biden is doing now. The usual Democrat response, slap him on the wrist instead of knock him into the next kingdom.
We're talking to Rudy Giuliani, mayor of New York City, on September 11th, 20th anniversary of this tragedy tomorrow. You mentioned George W. Bush and the iconic moments and responses. With the megaphone standing on the wreckage, what was your recollection of that moment?
Then
how important
right
also, yeah, you were right there. What was that moment
right
like with George W. Bush there?
I pushed the firefighter up with the megaphone. He was a retired firefighter. He was 70 years old, that guy. And he gave him the megaphone and stood next to him. Bush put his arm around him. And, I mean, first of all, Bush was in a great deal of danger at that time. People should know that. Not just the possibility of being taken out by the terrorists, but that site was inherently dangerous. There was a fire below the ground. I don't know how many degrees Fahrenheit, but gigantic. And there was no way to know where it would break out. I mean, I could be talking to a commissioner or someone, and in between us, a fire could break out. So we did the best we could, Governor Pataki and I, to find the right spot for him. The Secret Service was really angry at us for encouraging him to go down there. And every minute he was there, I kept thinking, oh, my goodness, if something goes wrong. And he stayed forever. I mean, he gave those remarks, and those were inspiring. But people don't realize he shook hands with 100 people. He was supposed to shake hands with 6 people symbolically and leave. And instead of that, he went into the crowd and he shook hands with about 100 people. And I loved it because, you know, we had a morale issue with the people there that were searching. They were searching for their sons, their brothers, their friends. It wasn't professional. It was personal. And he just lifted their spirit. And when he said, you know, they're going to hear from us, they knew what he meant. I mean, these are tough guys. They knew they knew he meant enough of the, you know, playing around with the terrorists. It's time to let them know we're the United States of America and you don't screw around with us. Just exactly, you know, the opposite of what Biden just did. And this 20th anniversary, many people, I just finished with one of my deputy mayors, is the worst we've had. Because we're back where back to the past. I mean, we're back on the day before 9/11 with Taliban in charge. Al-Qaeda, you know, doubled their number of people in the last 2 weeks. You know what the Haqqani network is planning. They may not be able to do it immediately, but, you know, they're gonna do everything they can to come back and attack us. And every time Biden, you know, uses a drone attack on people we can't even name, we don't even know who the hell he hit. They just laugh at him. And if they just watch him on television, they laugh at him. They see a senile old man who wants to be partners with them. It'd be like I wanted to be partners with the mafia. I mean, it's inane. We got people running that government that are wanted. I tell some of my police and military buddies, we should get a group together. We should go capture Haqqani. We should bring him back and collect a $10 million reward and give it to Tunnel of the Towers. We got a guy that's got a $10 million bounty on his head that's running the Interior Department, which means the police. It's pathetic.
Well, Mr. Mayor, as an American and as a fellow lifelong New Yorker, I just want to say thank you for your service to your city, to your country, and for being with us today in the day before the anniversary of 9/11.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Always an honor to talk to you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, Clay, you know, he brings up the Afghanistan and where we are now. And look, there's the heroism of the NYPD, the FDNY, the rallying together that occurred, And that's something we also always need to remember on 9/11. All those who stormed the terrorists in the cockpit and brought the plane down that was going to hit the Capitol. There's that part of the story. And when we also look at the 20 years that have passed, we have to see, all right, where are we now? And that's what I think Rudy got into there a bit. So we should come back and talk about that part of this, Afghanistan, and then also your just memories of that day and mine as well. And if anyone has some 9/11 reflections that they want to share in this hour, the lines are open. It is Open Line Friday, 800-282-2882. Got to tell you about gold for a minute here, because gold has been a precious commodity from the moment it was first discovered. Today, it's the standard still by which everything else is measured. If you want protection from a fluctuating stock market or the rising cost of housing or out of control spending and inflation, gold is the thing. Today, you can buy and order gold delivered to your front door and use that as one way to protect all you've worked so hard to earn and save. My partners at Oxford Gold Group make the entire experience easy. And for that matter, they make it easy to buy and put gold into your IRA, too. If you think buying gold is complicated, real gold, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain to you everything you have to know, and you'll see how easy it is. You can have real gold delivered to your home like I have, or have real gold as part of your IRA, and it's just a phone call away. Give them a ring right now, 833-404-GOLD, and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Sobering interview there with Rudy Giuliani about nearly 20 years ago and what happened on 9/11 for his personal recollections. And it is wild to think about, Buck, not only 20 years ago and what everyone in our audience experienced who remembers that day, but also where we are 20 years later. And I think this hour probably makes some sense to reflect upon the 20th anniversary of 9/11. But Buck, you were, I think, in college, right? But you had tons of friends who were in New York City. How did you become aware of what was happening that morning?
I remember I walked into an English literature class and the professor, the guy's name was Professor Sofield. And I always feel like when I tell this, you know, your memory plays tricks on you, but there are some flashes that I just seared into my brain, right? The professor said, go back to your rooms. A plane has run to the building. We're worried about some of the faculty and family member, you know, family members of faculty and students who may have been affected in the World Trade Center. And I like everyone, I had the same, not everyone, but a lot of people had the same reaction, which is in your mind, you're thinking, oh gosh, aviation accident, maybe a prop plane, maybe, you know, five right. or six people. That was what we thought. And then I went back and flipped on the TV and saw what was going on. And you knew right away, this is not that. What about you?
I was a first year law student. And that morning I woke up and the alarm went off. And when that alarm went off, there was a report on the radio. Hey, a plane had flown into the World Trade Center. I got in my car to drive to class. And at that time, nobody really had substantial amounts of, you know, internet access in the classroom or anything else. So I was in the classroom and, you know, people kind of knew that there was an issue that had happened, but it wasn't aware. We weren't aware of how significant it was. We'll continue this story here in a moment. But first, I want to play. Do we have the audio from Bush on the rubble? I want you to hear this because Rudy Giuliani was just talking and telling us about that incident. And I want you to be able to hear George W. Bush in the rubble. The 9/11, Giuliani said he was right at his foot as he put his arm around that retired fire department employee. Here's what that sounded like.
I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
That an iconic moment holding the megaphone, which Rudy Giuliani said that he had passed up to George W. Bush at the time, almost exactly 20 years ago to this day. Want to tell you, one out of every three of us suffers from chronic pain. It can be from age, inflammation, exercise, overexertion, the effects of everyday living. All of those are causes, but there's a solution, and this product called Relief Factor. Created by doctors, perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor made for you. It's 100% drug-free, goes right to joint pain, knee, hip, back, shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people, including my own wife, who uses it, will be using it as well. Makes a big difference. And I got to tell you, you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Right now, 3-week quick start. 70% of the people who order it come and order more. You can call 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start for you at relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF.
They should remain where they are, except if they are in southern Manhattan. If you're below Canal Street, you should walk out of southern Manhattan and walk north, as these people are doing right here.
Do you know anything?
All that we know right now is that two airplanes struck the two large towers of the World Trade Center. We spoke to the White House. There also apparently was an attack on the Pentagon. We asked that the airspace around the city of New York be sealed by military aircraft. We've been informed that it has been, and we've seen military aircraft up in the air. So we're hopeful that right now things are secure. And we need all of the open space we can get to evacuate people, to get people out, and we're going to have to move down and go north.
That was then Mayor Rudy Giuliani speaking to reporters on 9/11 2001. We have the 20th anniversary of it tomorrow. You can hear in the background there just some of the commotion, military fighter jets, and everything that was going on that day in Lower Manhattan. Clay was in law school. I was in undergrad at the time. And we just thought we'd share with you some of our recollections from that day. I told you that I heard about it, went to class, came back, and I saw what had happened with the first plane. And then, to my memory, I was watching live as the second plane hit. And I remember saying, at least this is what I remember from 20 years ago now, oh my God, we're going to war. Because at that point, it was so clear that it was an attack. And it was, you know, we didn't know at that moment necessarily who it was, but we knew that we were under attack. That was clear. And then, Clay, I was up at this. I remember before the day's events, before the actual attack happened, people were commenting on what a peaceful day it had been in New York City. And it felt like that up in central Massachusetts until this happened as well. It was one of those almost impossibly, in terms of the weather, beautiful mornings and then disrupted by the most heinous kind of act imaginable. And we were wandering around campus and we just had no real idea what was going on. I remember the president of the college called me because I had a uncle through marriage. My mother's sister's husband worked for Aon Corporation and was very high up in one of the towers. He happened to be late to work that day. He lost most. So my uncle survived, though initially we did not think he did. And then we just started to think about all the other people we knew who were in the buildings, Cantor Fitzgerald, Aon, so many different companies that are recruited from New York City. And I'll just share this with you, and then I want to hear what you remember from that day. They gathered. It was the only all-school gathering that I can remember happening when I was in 4 years of undergrad college. And we were all still wandering around in a daze. I mean, we were undergrads and didn't really know what was going on. And a professor stood up, and I will never forget this because it was formative for my view of the battles inside this country as well as outside. A professor stood up and said, on the day when people are still finding out that they have relatives in relatives that are buried at 9/11, this is what happens when you make people angry with your foreign policy. That was what a professor at my school said at an all-school assembly. There was a flag burning on my campus about 2 or 3 weeks after 9/11 in response to the surge of patriotism that made people from the various left-wing communities uncomfortable with the surge of imperialism and the death of of people abroad that would occur. I mean, Clay, this is when I realized the left is actually insane, and there are elements of the left that truly want to bring down the country and root against the country.
That's wild. I didn't experience anything like that. Now, I was in America's heartland as we speak. I was in law school. I was in my torts class. And we went in. And again, it's a different world for younger people out there. The cell phone networks went down, right? Which is the only real time that I can ever remember the cell phone networks going down. And people didn't text yet, right? So you had a cell phone in 01, but you would still call and you couldn't make a call. Right. Like basically all cell phone networks were down for much of the country.
I was using AOL Instant Messenger to check in with family. I remember that.
Yeah. And so we were in class and we came out of class and the second building had been struck. And I stood in the foyer of Vanderbilt University Law School with all the students there. They had televisions on, which was rare. And we watched the towers collapse. And the only thing that I remember from a person in position of authority was, and in retrospect, this certainly would not happen now, but the dean of the law school came out and he said, we're not canceling any classes because terrorists want to disrupt our normal activities. And so everybody's just going to continue to go to class for the rest of the day. So they did. I mean, nowadays, you know, you'd probably shut down for a week, right? And in retrospect, that kind of stiff upper lip, I remember sitting in class right after that, watching the towers come down, and I was in a legal writing and research class, and I remember thinking, like, how in the world are we asked questions and, you know, study the law right now where the entire world has changed in an instant with what was going on there. But we had class. And the only real change, and I may be misremembering it afterwards, but I don't think I am, is some people had family and friends certainly who were in the towers. And usually in law school, they will, they, at least then, the class is run on the Socratic method. So you don't know when you're going to get called on. And you just get grilled on whatever legal case that you were supposed to be studying at that point in time. For several weeks, they did away with the Socratic method. They didn't want to call on someone who might be dealing, grieving with 9/11 related issues. And remember, I was in DC, so one of my, for college. So one of my first thoughts was the Pentagon being hit, right? Because I had just left DC like a couple of weeks before to go back and start law school. So I still had a ton of friends in DC who were panicked. And, you know, could see the flames from the Pentagon from the rooftop, near where George Washington University, where I had gone. And obviously the brave people in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But the fear was that there were going to be a plane go into the Capitol and also go into the White House. And, so it was absolute
chaos.
And
that was the plan. It wasn't even just
concern.
Right. I mean, that was what was going to happen. I believe it was Todd Beamer, who led that charge behind the food service cart on that flight that
That's
went
right.
down in the field of Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Which gets forgotten about by a lot of people, but is an amazing heroism.
Right, well, it's the Flight 93, right?
Flight 93,
which there was, that plane was going to be, that plane was heading right for the Capitol or the White House. I mean, it could have been either, but the Capitol, they believe, was the target. And it's amazing in retrospect, quite honestly, Clay, that they were able to stop that from happening.
No doubt.
And Al-Qaeda, when we think about how easy it was for them to hijack all those planes and how, just from a security perspective, we were just sleepwalking. I mean, as a country, we weren't ready for it at all. As horrific as it was, I know a lot of people that analyze security and you know the possibilities of this, they could have seized 20 planes. That would not have been that difficult for them to do. So,
yeah.
And obviously, we have a very different feeling now. I mean, it's been the case, I think, for a long time. That if anyone hijacks a plane now, they know that they're going to have every... The assumption is, it used to be because of the old terrorism, the plane might land somewhere, there'd be negotiations,
that's right.
And that's what had happened in some of these Islamist liberation groups and other terrorist entities. Now we all know, I mean, it changed our thinking dramatically, and now we all know that if it comes down to it, you have to be willing to storm the cockpit. Everybody, every man and woman on that plane has to be willing to storm the cockpit. And it's kind of a lesson for life, I think, now in the world that we live in. That's what we face. If any of you have reflections you want to share, we're also going to get, please do call. We're also going to get back into the mandates madness that Joe Biden has subjected the American people to now with the vaccine stuff that came down last night. 800-282-2882 on the phone lines. 800-282-2882. And, you know, it's amazing when you can relive your cherished memories from a long time ago, particularly if there's video or a family movie involved. You can replay video from the voice of a beloved grandmother, grandfather, school plays, sporting events when you were in junior high or high school, and you can share with your whole family. That's why Legacy Box is in business today, because they want to make it easy for you to do just that, and to do it for years to come. They take your old family videotapes with all those memories locked away, and they bring them back to life by digitizing them. Legacy Box will digitally transfer from videotape onto computer files or DVDs, whatever you've got. I sent in old photos, Clay, from when I was playing sports in high school and hanging out with friends and just spending time with family. I even had a pet bird at one point. I got a photo of me with the pet bird that I got to put up somewhere. So that's now something I can share with my kids and my family members, thanks to Legacy Box.
And whoever you are out there, there are certainly a lot of you that have old family memories that you worry about not being able to share in the years ahead. You can trust them with your cherished memories, which is why we do and why you should as well. And right now we got an incredible offer, 50% off their service at legacybox.com/clay. couldn't be any simpler. You use their kit, safely send the moments you want preserved. Team creates a digital archives by hand for you. You get your new copies stored on the cloud, thumb drive, DVD, along with all the original media you sent them. You can track the whole process online, and you will preserve your family's history forever. All you have to do is go to legacybox.com/clay to take advantage of this 50% offer right now. That's legacybox.com/clay, 50% off. One more time, legacybox.com/clay.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck. Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It is Open Line Friday. We said we would take calls. 800-282-2882. Let's get to, we have Ruben in Tulare, California. Is that right?
Yeah, buddy.
There we go. What's up?
Well, I was talking to your other helper there, and I told him I was in New England when that happened, and there was a television. I was making a delivery. I'm a truck driver, and I got out there and to that office, and we're watching it on the television, and it was sad. I mean, it was really sad, and they shut down the highway, so I had to wait about a day and a half for them to reopen it. Get across, you know, had a load to pick up, go to California. I stopped in Iowa 49, and there was a guy there at the truck stop, and he gave me a flag. It was sad. It was a somber day. Everybody's still in shock, and he told me, put this flag up on your outside your truck. I told him, sure, man. I said, thank you. And I went across went back to California, and I got some waves and some smiles, and kind of, I guess it kind of helped a little bit, you know, maybe, but was a little bit of something. But you know what? I'm going to stop at a hardware store, and I'm going to put that flag on, even though it's a different time, a different day. But I'm going to do that. And if anybody,
well, thank you for the call.
Any truck drivers out there?
Thank you for the call, Root.
He wants
the number of people, by the way, Buck, who were on airplanes, you know, that got scrambled and relocated and had to spend days. You know, they took a lot of them in, I think, up in basically Newfoundland, and I'm probably Newfoundland.
Yeah.
I'm mispronouncing that, I think. But the Come From Away, you know, the play that they did on Broadway that is based on that. They brought all these people who were in the air because they didn't know which airplanes might be potentially terror attacks.
Another Al-Qaeda cell with box cutters could have seized control of another plane in the air and done the same. We had no idea how many of these things were out there. Yeah, it was
flying blind. And so,
I remember my parents talking to them on the phone. I think it was the night of, so the night, you know, after the first night after the planes hit in the morning. And they were just telling me that those F-15s, man, if you were living in New York City, you were just hearing F-15s roaring around the sky, ready in case there, you know, there was this concern that there would be another hijacked plane. I mean, they were ready to shoot down, or at least that was the idea, that they'd shoot down a plane if it came. Jennifer in Columbia, South Carolina, she might have some interesting insight here into the whole post office vax mandate debate. Jennifer, thanks so much.
Hey, Bugs, how are y'all doing?
We're great, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to call because I'm a rural carrier, and I work in a smaller office, and we have certainly worked through COVID for the past year and a half, and we are working at levels three times than what we're used to, and everybody's tired and worn out but still trying to get through it. But I know that there are some people in my office that would quit the job rather than get vaccinated, and we are already short-staffed. We're down routes. You know, every day there's other offices that are down multiple routes a day because of the short staff, trying to hire like everybody else, but nobody wants to work or applying like you would think that they would. And I think that if the people, even if it's just a few people that don't want to be vaccinated that leave the Postal Service, they're really going to be struggling, especially going into the holiday season.
Jennifer, can you just, do you know, or can you give us a little insight into whether or not the post office, because there was this report that the 600,000 employees of the Postal Service, and I think that's what the number that I saw, that seems huge, but that they are not going to be covered by this?
Well, we have been told when he came out before and said federal employees were going to have to be mandated that we were exempt. We heard it this time, but then there was some backpedaling saying, well, you may have to be tested once a week if you're not going to be vaccinated. And that might be at the employee's expense.
Wow, it is about a half a million. I see here this is 469,000 USPS career employees, 136,000 non-career. So it's a huge number. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, and I think her call is a good one, that as we get ready for the holiday season, if there are a decent percentage of employees that would refuse this, arguably our ability to deliver packages would collapse. That's basically what you're saying. Thanks for calling us, right? But based on your understanding, that's the reason why there could be a difference of treatment there?
That's correct.
Yeah, if the Postal Service collapses under Biden's watch, it's a bad look.
I think
I think that's fair to say. Jennifer, thank you for what you do. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Patty in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a place I've actually spent some time in recent years. Patty, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for carrying on Rush's legacy. Sure appreciate you.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, to all of these people calling in who are planning to resign from their jobs, I have a word of advice. But then also, I'd like to just mention something about my bewilderment over Biden's apparent visceral hatred for unvaccinated citizens. So first of all, to these employees who say they're going to resign, I would just encourage them not to resign. Please make your employer fire you, because at that point, you will have some legal recourse. You'll be able to draw unemployment. You'll have COBRA health insurance options. But mostly, for a lot of these companies, they may be represented by a union. And it will be interesting to see what their union representatives will do to protect.
It's a good point.
This is a fantastic point. Patty,
Well done.
It is a challenge, and we're going to continue to talk about this, the vaccine mandate that came out from Joe Biden. When we come back at the top of the third hour, we're going to dive back into this story from a legal, political perspective and discuss it. Final hour of the week, Buck. So much to get into.
Yeah, plus the Los Angeles County mandate for kids, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. Now they're going to say, get the vax or you don't get educated. What's that going to mean? That sounds like it might have a disproportionate impact on low-income communities. They care about that? We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently.
Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helped severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It's already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes.
The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams, offering over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.